usually go to Target for the fights.
That's a good time. You want to have a good time on a Saturday, and are you on a budget? Go to fucking Target. Other people are wasting money on pay-per-view. I got Rita and Jonathan f***ing fighting over a sweater. That's entertaining as all shit. So I didn't want to cuss tonight, but here we go. In for a penny, in for a pound. But it is. It's daylight savings time. And I hate it. And I hate it. And I want it to stop. It got dark today. 4 o'clock, you guys. And that's not even the shortest one yet. This is going to get shorter. Well, how does this help farmers? How did this ever help farmers? Let's pretend it's late early. How does that help anybody? I know the earth tilts and shit like that, but how about we just see the fucking daylight?
I stopped myself before I started singing because I don't want to have to pay. I don't want to have to pay a lot of money for. I don't know why that was the first thing that popped into my head. Baby, I'm on need, and that now I probably owe somebody money.
Where did that come from?
I have no idea. I have zero idea. Here, okay. First things first. I was thinking about doing a Zeppelin thing. I was thinking about doing the Immigrant Song,
uh-huh.
And I think that's. That got it, and that took me to the 1970s, and the 1970s took me to you. It's fun.
It's
welcome to the
fun.
Show.
Well,
I don't even know who wrote that song. I got to get out of the 70s. I have to. I'm on a. There's some great music back then. I got to get out. I got to join the modern day peoples. I need to get hip with what the kids are listening to nowadays.
Yes, well, that's kind of hard because I put the Led Zeppelin stuff in your head because I went to see Thor last night.
Yes, and no spoilers, and I know it's wonderful, and it's getting great reviews.
Oh, good.
And all of this other stuff. And you know what I think that is?
What?
And we'll just start with this. We'll just start with an entertainment story. If you're here for, what are the Liberty Gypsy and Loftus have to say about politics this week? Buckle up. Cross your legs. Hold it till we get to the next bathroom. We will get there. But right now, it's Thor. Chris Hemsworth, who I think is really, really funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know he made a series of videos for YouTube where Thor had a roommate. He just made these videos. Somebody helped him. Somebody filmed it. But Thor is living in Australia. He's got a roommate, and he's bugging his roommate. His roommate's like this super nerdy guy who's like, you know, Thor never cleans up. He leaves a huge mess around the toilet. I'm going to have to talk to him about the back rent. And then Hemsworth comes in. He's like, let's go out drinking. And it's super funny.
Well,
and I think everybody was surprised with how funny Hemsworth was. So I hear that it kind of changed Thor. In the first Thor movie, he was like a real hardcore, you know, I'm like a gladiator from another dimension, blah blah blah. And then he did a couple of jokes,
mm-hmm.
which I guess those were his jokes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like when Natalie Portman, he has a scene with Natalie Portman and the other girl from Two Broke Girls, and he finishes a cup of coffee, and they're like, "Do you like it?" And he goes, "Yes," and he smashes the coffee cup, and he goes, "Another." that was his joke, and that was
That's
like the
so
best
Viking.
Exactly. So I think what they did is they unleashed Hemsworth and the writers and everything. So it's not too goofy. I don't like it when they get goofy. I like fun and funny. I don't like goofy.
I would say it's not goofy. No, it's not to that. It's not to that level at all. Are there some things that make you chuckle? Absolutely. But it's not like it didn't turn the story of Thor into a comedic event at all. But, you know, the other thing that doesn't hurt Hemsworth is he's pretty good looking.
Chris Hemsworth is that thing. I'm getting a little bit of echo.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's just weird. I mean, I sound great, and I love I love listening to me twice because I got a dreamy voice. Hemsworth has that, I don't know what you call it. He seems like a cool dude to hang out with.
Yeah, he does. And there's biceps.
But even for dudes, like, right? He's got all the eye candy there for the ladies. Mm-hmm. But like, I'm like, hey, Hemsworth, what are you doing, man? We're going to go watch the game. Let's grab some nachos. He'd be in. Like, he'd be a fun dude to hang out with. And then, of course, he'd be pulling all of the tail at the sports bar, but you wouldn't be mad at him. You're like, what are you going to do? It's Hemsworth.
Right.
Hemsworth is nutty like that. It's weird. If I had to pick, if I'm going to watch the Super Bowl with an Avenger, I'd probably go Downey Jr. first.
Really?
Yeah. Because I think he's funnier than Hemsworth. It's a different kind of humor.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go Downey Jr., then I'd go Hemsworth. After that, maybe Captain America, but probably Don Cheadle before Captain America.
Yeah.
And then I'm trying to think. And Hulk, no.
I don't want to go anywhere with Mark Ruffalo.
He's only going to talk politics. I'm sure he's a cool dude and all that other stuff, but
he's a male feminist. It's icky.
This is the funniest thing ever. And I don't know if it's Robert Downey Jr.'s quote or who invented it, but mm-hmm. but I think they're attributing it to Robert Downey Jr. You can't spell subtext without butt sex.
Oh.
It's wonderfully funny on every level. If you take the word subtext and scramble the letters, mm-hmm. you get butt sex. And you can't say subtext without it. To me, that's hilariously funny. If he made that up, that dude's a genius. That's like some Mark Twain level funny right there.
That's like t-shirt level funny.
Yes.
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 Do we know anybody who knows Downey? Downey, can we use that quote on a t-shirt?
Can we use that quote? Did you trademark that? Is that like three-peat? You can't spell subtext without butt sex. And that's just hilariously funny to me. Okay, so you saw Thor, I'm jealous. You saw Blade Runner 2049, I'm jealous. I haven't seen it. I'm playing catch up on all kinds of stuff. It's all I can do as a human being to hang on to my career as a writer, my career as a comedian, and this wonderful Loftus Party thing. That's where we're steering it. And I swear to you, it's going great. It's going great. You're a little laugh there. Okay.
And it's only going to get better.
I'm not even kidding.
I know.
I wrote a little review of Destiny 2. I thought it would be hard. I don't know why. It's weird. Here's the deal. I can write scripts and I can write stand-up for other comedians that I know. I've never tried to do like an article before, or a blog. So I did that. I can't write stand up for myself. Like I can't sit down at the computer and go, oh, then I'll say this and then I'll say that. When my stand up is literally just like a shotgun blast. I have an idea. Bleh, there's a giant regurgitation. And then I just kind of slowly refine it. There's either something there or there's not. It's like panning for gold. So I was nervous. I was nervous about doing the blog. It was insanely easy. It was, you type it up. Well, I'm not going to say insanely easy. That's demeaning to people who do blogs. Here's what I did. I put together my thoughts. I put them in a Word document, grabbed a photograph, sent it to you, Liberty Gypsy. You put it on the website. People click, people read. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.
I'm excited. If you'd known how easy it was, you would have done it before.
Exactamundo.
So now you're going to do it more.
I am. Here's my next thing. I'm going to, and I'm sorry, but it's what I'm kind of into right now. I'm going to do a review of Super Mario Odyssey. I bought it, got the last copy at the local Best Buy, because mm-hmm. they say that this is the best one ever. It's almost an open world. And I was late, got to my first boss level, beat them. It is fun. It is fun. It is fun. It is fun. And it's got that particular brand of insanity that only Super Mario games have. Like, if you think about Super Mario, it's crazy. It's nuts. You run around, you smash, you jump on things, you kill them, you eat mushrooms, you get big, you fly through the galaxy. It's a little odd. Last night, I turned into a frog. I had a talking hat, and it all made sense.
Because you were playing the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, the only Mario game I ever played was Mario Kart.
And that's a blast.
Oh, no, that's a blast. My kids just used to always just absolutely kick my tail at it because they played it nonstop. So,
yeah, that's the problem. Yeah. That's the problem that I have with mine as well. They're like, are you doing this? Are you doing that? I'm like, dude, I don't know. That's the other thing. I'm losing, and this is sad. I'm losing my reflexes. I can tell my gaming reflexes are slower. So yeah. I'll have to adjust. Okay. Now we're making the shift. If you've been holding your pee for politics, here we go. We're jumping in. We have we have big news. This is the I'm not going to bury the lead here. This is the one that had me so infuriated. I actually did a new video for the Facebook page last night. The whole Donna Brazile, her new book, where she's like, yeah, it was rigged for Hillary.
It was rigged for Hillary.
Yes. See, and that's just it. That's your first instinct is like, yeah, right. Yeah, you know, big deal. And then you start thinking about it, and it just the audacity of it is what got me. I was taking a walk last night. I like to walk around, get some form of exercise. And it just started hitting me more and more and more and more and more. Like, as remember when Hillary and everybody was like, Donald Trump got help from the Russians and he's rigging our election and our democracy is sacred and our democracy is the most important thing. Mm-hmm. The whole time she was saying that crap, she knew she rigged it in her favor. She knew she had her finger on the scale. Like, the audacity of that. That is such massive levels of BS. It's hard to comprehend.
I comprehend what happened, and the sad part of it is because it's the Clintons, it doesn't surprise me.
That's just, and that's where I started too.
It's like
you're not surprised. It's like going to a new person, and this is the metaphor or analogy I used in the video. It's like when you get a bad haircut, mm-hmm. and you look in the mirror, and you're like, "Holy crap, that's a bad haircut." And then as days go by and you keep looking at your hair, you're like, oh my Lord, what happened? How did this, why did I go there? And that's where I am with the whole, the Democratic National Committee and blah, 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 that whole thing.
Well, and I mean,
really bad.
Some of the other stuff that I was reading, and I think this actually came from an excerpt of the book that she posted in one of the publications. I mean, she just demolishes Debbie Wasserman Schultz. And I look at it this way. There was a lot of yummy, yummy, yummy. And maybe my tinfoil hat isn't tight enough. Donna Brazile's book came out, right? But you know people who've written books and things. That process is months in the making. So she probably started writing that book shortly after the election. And it was probably in the process of being published before Uranium One and all this stuff with the dossier came up, right? But you had a lot of people saying, Donna Brazile only wrote that book because of the dossier. No, that's not how books are written, kids. What I find more interesting is the absolute pivot of people like Elizabeth Warren, right, away from Hillary. Because Elizabeth Warren was always, I'm with her. Right?
Yeah, it's the handwriting on the wall.
Oh, it's the total handwriting on the wall. Between the Uranium One scandal, obvious pay for play. I don't care if she's never arrested. It's going to go down in the history books that was influence peddling, whether she's ever convicted or not. Now this thing with – and nobody in her campaign, nobody knew anything about this dossier. Okay, whatever. But the absolute – quick pivot, as soon as this comes out in Brazile's book, right, which is now being billed as like, you know, a devastation of Hillary Clinton and the establishment, you know, all of these other people started, oh yeah, it was, look at that, it was rigged. Oh my God, it was rigged. So they're turning away from her for party politics so they don't have to turn away from her based on these public scandals. Does that make sense?
Well, yes. And getting back to the beginning of this, Donna Brazile, I believe, started writing this book the minute she got busted passing debate questions to Hillary.
Maybe.
Right. Oh, yeah. Because she denied it. And that's the other great thing. That's the other great thing. The title of the video is, if I was a Democrat, I'd be so pissed. Because mm-hmm. It's true. Donna Brazile, not only did she – okay, so we know she did it. She admitted to passing debate questions to Hillary. However, twice on Fox News, once on Megyn Kelly – hello, Eon Flux. Once on Megyn Kelly, she was outraged. Like, how dare you think – how dare you even suggest I did that? I mean, she was pissed.
Mm-hmm.
So then it comes to light, no, she did it. We know you did it, blah, blah, blah. Then you make your book deal. Because then you got to hit the dismount. It's over, right?
Right.
You know you've been busted, and unless everything lines up perfectly, your career in politics is probably over. So she's hanging on to her career, but she's writing the book as an insurance policy.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. So now it comes out. So she lied right to our faces and was indignant about it. And in her book, everyone knew. That's the thing. Pocahontas, Elizabeth Warren knew. She knew mm-hmm. that Hillary Clinton bought the Democratic Party and right. was going to make it, so she was the only one. Yet still, Elizabeth Warren endorsed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's who I want for president. That it just – it makes a mockery out of our – that's right. I went mockery out of our democracy. I have the most – the Democratic Party was broke. They were – I guess when you win – so like Barack Obama, Debbie Wasserman Schultz was kind of like doing the day-to-day stuff, but Barack Obama was kind of in charge of the Democratic National. He set the agenda. He had the money, but he left him in the hole $24 million.
But he flew all over the country doing all of that fundraising. How did that happen?
You know what he was doing? He was putting money into the, I believe it's called the OFA.
Oh, well, yeah, it used to be. I think they changed their name now. Oh, no. Yeah, no. It used to be Organizing for America before he was elected. Now I think it's Obama for America.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that is a scary little thing. So anyway, Hillary Clinton, she came in. She's like, you guys are in the hole $24 million. I'll pay the tab. However, I'm in charge of everything. And so when Donna Brazile took over from Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who Debbie Schultz is corrupt to high heaven.
Oh, my goodness.
Donna Brazile comes in and goes, holy smoke. We're in the hole. The Clintons are helping out, but they're running the table. They're doing everything. They've got legal documents set up. So Debbie Wasserman Schultz is a straight up liar, and you know it. It's a fact. Then you've got Donna Brazile, who's a straight up liar. You know it. It's a fact. You got Pocahontas saying she's our girl. She's the president, and she knew it was rigged. And Bernie Sanders, that poor son of a bitch who got thrown under the bus, he still endorsed her. Like no one on that side, when they all knew, and this is the thing, and I'm sorry that I'm on a soapbox here. I don't want to be the outrage guy. However, this is outrageous. It is an outrage. I'm going to buy an election. I'm straight up going to buy the presidency of the United States. And if anybody is cool with that, get the F out of this country. That's insane.
Well,
it's insane. And you can say a lot of crap about the Republicans. You really can. But man, oh man, they were out to get Donald Trump, but at least they played fair. If they're cheating, they did it really good.
Because we haven't caught them yet.
Yes. Everybody's like, no, 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 not Donald Trump, not Donald Trump. And they're like, well, he got the most votes. I guess we have to. Oh, dang it. Like literally, there was a field of what, 12, 15, 16 people?
Mm-hmm.
16. The person who got the most votes became the candidate and then went forward. The
yep.
Democrats did not give you that same benefit.
Well, the Democrats are never not going to give the nomination to who the party thinks should have it because they have that superdelegate structure. That's just corrupt to begin with. Right? That ensures whoever they want to be the nominee is going to be the nominee, because there's party politics just like there's national politics.
Yes.
And if you go against the grain within the party, you lose all of your position and power. So those superdelegates are a joke, number one. Number two, Hillary Clinton had an embarrassing and devastating loss in 2008, right?
Yes.
To Barack Obama. She was not going to let that happen again. So I'm not, again, at all surprised by this. Third, in my mind, she had to do what she did because she knew what a horrible retail candidate she was. And she knew that there was some polling out there, because I've seen it, that people don't want political dynasties. Like, we didn't want another Clinton.
All of this is the why. Mm-hmm. All of it, I really don't want to discuss a whole lot. Mm-hmm. Because it takes away from the point. You're not allowed to buy this stuff. I don't care why she did it. She did it. And she had a bunch of people help her. Mm-hmm. And they all went on TV and went, oh, Donald Trump's the real danger. His collusion and his backroom, everything. And this is once again, I go into on the video. It's like the collusion with Russia, it's there on Hillary. The collusion with foreign governments, she colluded with Ukraine, blah, 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 blah. They call Donald Trump Hitler and just buying off, you know, everything they accused him of, they've done. It's really shocking. And that you can, like, I've got a lot of money, I'm going to be president, is not what any of this is about. And it's, I'm sure, like, well, I don't, I have to think maybe some laws were broken. It's outrageous. It's really, really, really outrageous. And if I was a Democrat, I would be bummed out.
A lot of them are.
They'd have to be. And a lot of the far right guys, like the Bill Kristols and all those, well, we're the elites and we'll make these decisions. And, oh, you little peons with your little votes and what you want doesn't really matter. We know what's best. That's what fires me up. That's what gets my ass out of bed every day. No, you don't know better. You don't.
Well, and I think one of the really interesting things is the entire political class at this point is finding that out. You know, there's been a lot of writing about how it used to be easy for people like Mitch McConnell or Paul Ryan to really manage the narrative coming out of the GOP, and even easier for the Democratic National Committee and their party leadership to manage, you know, the narrative coming from there because of the very complicit media that's been there for several decades. But, you know, now with kind of the bust out of information and the growth of the interwebs and the growth of, you know, multiple platforms where people who have been involved in it, I mean, if you look at a lot of these blogs that have come up on both the right and the left, these are people who've been that start them that have been involved in party politics for years.
Yeah.
So there's credible sources out there other than the talking heads on TV that were receiving their talking points directly from the political parties and the political leadership. And I only think it's going to get worse. It's literally
or better.
I think it's
going to get better. The problem, if I may, is it's going to be so diluted. Mm-hmm. You're going to get people who like, well, I get my political insights from this one website. Mm-hmm. I get my entertainment stuff from that website. I watch the TV for this. It used to be, and I don't know what the solution is. You had like a common set of knowledge. You had the big three networks, mm-hmm. and like, okay, so this is what it is. Now you can literally just have your own reality. Like, I do nothing but watch MSNBC. That's my political viewpoint. Republicans are all Nazis and they're all this and they're all that. And you literally don't know about the other side of the argument. You literally don't. So your life is going to be, you know what I'm saying? Your political insights are going to be defined by your narrow band. You're not going to be forced to or have the opportunity to look at other points of view. And that's what I'm terrified of.
Well, and I think, you know, my only question on that is really beginning sometime in the mid-1990s, and maybe even earlier than that, because the press was not that kind to Ronald Reagan. Were you really getting both points of view? Not sure.
No. No, you weren't.
I'm not sure. And I think it was that frustration, right, that borne up some of these, you know, strictly leaning right or left sort of venues. You know, I don't know what the solution is either. I try to read across the spectrum. I know you force yourself to watch things like Joanne Reed, and I just can't. I can't even look at her Twitter feed. I mean, it's just, oh my God, you said what?
Yes.
But, you know, I do read mainstream, what I would call the former mainstream media, the New York Times, Washington Post, and I get most of my information from reading. So I try to read like reputable things across the spectrum. And I don't think a lot of people do that. So.
Yeah. And even then, like I'm saying, you know, you go back to like Walter Cronkite and Edward R. Murrow, even back farther than that, these great, you know, oh, that now that was a newsman. That when that just the news was news. Those guys had an agenda, and it's impossible to keep your agenda out of it. I don't know what the answer is.
Well, I think what happened is what it kind of got chronicled by Judith Miller's, you know, book that she put out is editorial control. Editors were somewhat responsible for understanding those biases and pushing back on writers when they saw them.
Yeah.
Then the editors became biased and so did the slant to everything they produced. And I think honestly, it's more of an editorial problem than it is any individual journalist.
For sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. That's exactly what it is. You like the guy who used to run the New York Times was very good about that. Yeah. There was that great article, and I think we had a link to that on theloftistparty.com. Mm-hmm. This reporter who used to work with the New York Times and the editor. This is before the guy with the wife who killed people through witchcraft.
Oh, I thought that was the Post, Washington Post.
Yeah, that was the Washington Post.
Oh, okay.
You're correct. The New York Times, this guy's like, I know my reporters lean to the left, so I'm going to counteract that. I'm going to kind of try to shove it to the right. That way we'll end up in the middle. That's right. Beautiful. That's wonderful. That's what we need to have happen again. However, yeah, now it is Facebook, but you can delete or unfollow the people whose opinion you don't like. Twitter. But you can unfollow the people whose opinion you don't like. Twitter needs to get their act together. I'm sure you did see this, where that guy on his last day at work at Twitter just deleted the president's account.
Yeah, and actually it's a little more terrifying than that. I saw a video on CNN this week about undercover conservatives in Silicon Valley. And this was
literally...
What? Oh, yeah. Undercover conservatives in Silicon Valley. And it was this reporter from CNN that was interviewing these people who live and work in the Bay Area, specifically in the tech industry. And literally, if you've ever watched those videos where you have the guy who is in the witness protection program and he's got his voice all garbled up.
I was working for the mafia.
Exactly.
I didn't want them.
Yeah.
I love that voice.
The people who were talking to her about what it's like to hold a different political point of view were like that.
That's
they
hilarious.
Were using the mafia witness voice and all
that's
this other
hilarious.
Stuff. Literally talking about fear of losing their job, losing the ability to be rehired in the industry. They're using the guy from Google as an example, right? Like
yes.
All this guy did was provide research that's out there and well substantiated, and he got fired. So
I was worried they knew I voted for Donald Trump. I didn't wear the hat or anything, but I
that's so hilarious.
But I'll send you the link. It's actually terrifying to me in context of what this dude at Twitter did, right? Because how many folks are there in their reporting process or whatever else looking at, oh, so-and-so was mean to me, right? Oh, look.
Yeah.
I don't like what that person says. Goodbye.
What's Twitter going to do? It seems to me, and this would require us all holding hands and saying freedom of speech, freedom of speech. It seems to me the best model for them would be freedom of speech, but we draw the lines on threats of physical act of violence.
Well, I mean, there's basically three things that Twitter, well, four things, one of them being obvious. You can't post child porn anywhere. That's illegal. So illegal behavior, right? If it's illegal, yes. It needs to go. You can't dox somebody. So if somebody's real name, real identity, you don't get to post somebody's address, phone number, you know, like Kathy Griffin did in her thing, you know, basically that's a no-no. You can't threaten to kill people, but again, kind of like the FBI, they're credible threats. You know, if it's two guys, oh yeah, if we were together, I'd kick your butt. Now that's just dudes talking on Twitter. Things get a little heated, right? But I mean, if somebody is literally threatening you, that's a problem. And you don't get to mess with somebody's employment.
Okay.
Like, just so, because we hold different political views doesn't mean you shouldn't have a job. I just have a real hard time with that one.
Yeah, I think here's the big danger. And this is like seriously something that I've like the guy using the mafia voice in Silicon Valley. Like there is a real threat to my livelihood in doing the loftistparty.com. Mm-hmm. However, like most people, I think I'm incredibly unique and it won't happen to me. Mm-hmm. So I'm literally just jumping out there and going, oh, they'll be cool with me. I'm a nice guy. However, the terrifying thing is, and they did it to the president. That's mm-hmm. the thing. Bloop, you no longer exist. On Twitter, they press a button, they click something, and you're gone. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it happen to people on Twitter who I'm sure some of the viewers or listeners have heard of. But one day, they're just no longer there. And then someone else that you know who follows them is like, oh my gosh, Roadbeer's in trouble. And why'd they get rid of him? I don't know. Why'd they get rid of that guy? I don't know. But they no longer exist. And they can do it on Facebook as well. Mm-hmm. And I know that Facebook has been dialing down some of our activity. Mm-hmm. And YouTube got on us
for nothing.
A couple of weeks ago.
For nothing.
For nothing. It's like – I'm okay. I can skip on that fine line of, oh, it's entertainment and it's politics and it's this and that. However, that's why if you listen to this podcast and you're going to the loftistparty.com, I'm asking you to share this stuff because there's a safety. The higher up we are on the radar, the more safe you are. Mm-hmm. It's terrifying that they can just bloop, make you go away. I saw Dennis Prager on a program last night.
Yep, I think they're suing.
Yeah, and they have really good grounds. Mm-hmm. They have really good grounds compare and contrast. And then I think there's that guy Jack Plasobic. So yeah, he needs a new last name. We'll just fix that for him. Right, we should. We should give them, like, listen, get yourself a nickname or a name of your company or something that we can all refer to you and not mangle your last name. He did an undercover video with a kid who works at YouTube, and the kid just admitted, we're going to make sure we're going to dial up these videos and we're going to dial these down. There is a team of us. That's all we do. That's their full-time job.
Wow.
Is just to adjust what gets bigger and what gets smaller. So I know that. I know the game is rigged going in. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to play by their little rigged rule system. However, it's numbers, numbers, numbers. And it's going well. I can't complain.
Yeah, I think they're eventually going to get a schmack, though. There's a couple interesting little things I've seen out there recently that are starting to look a lot more like these interactive social media platforms that are doing a pretty good job of opening their arms to the right and the left. And if you go back on Twitter, it was built on free speech. A lot of the things you see now and what's going on now happened when Jack came back. Jack was gone for a while. Jack made a lot of money. And then they did the IPO and maybe it wasn't going so well. They're like, well, Jack did this to begin with. Let's bring him back. And all he has turned it into is a company committed to social justice in their products and services, in a way that alienates half of your audience. And I think what the big lesson of Twitter is going to be is you cannot build a for-profit company on that particular foundation. Because eventually the social justice warriors get mad at one another. So how many committed feminists? I mean, what did they kill Hillary Duff for last year? Dressing as an Indian?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they end up eating each other. Chris Hemsworth has had to apologize. They end up going after each other and getting offended by one another. And your core group will become smaller and smaller and smaller.
I saw this hilarious video, this dude around some Antifa girl who was in a fight with an Antifa dude. And she was like, you're just a poser. You don't ever really hurt anybody. And he's like, I've hurt plenty of people. Don't call me a poser. And it was the funniest thing.
Yeah.
This girl pretty much, you know, go hit somebody. Hit somebody. You never hit anybody. Oh, I hit plenty of people. I'm a cool guy. How about Mr. Antifa? Shut up. You're a poser. It was hilarious.
Oh,
but yeah, that's what it always comes down to. Mm-hmm. I just, the big picture for me is like, I don't like feeling like a sheep. I don't like the idea of, oh, I'm being herded in one direction. Mm-hmm. And when Twitter and Facebook and these other social media platforms try to herd people in a direction, I immediately want to go the other way.
Oh yeah.
And then people are like, well, and it was Kennedy, who I like,
mm-hmm.
From Fox Business. She was like, well, there's plenty of billionaires who are conservative and they need to start their own thing. They mm-hmm. That's the free market. And it is true.
Yeah.
In theory, it is true. And then I would point her to they tried it. Like somebody decided to start Gab, G-A-B, which Lord knows who was on there. It seemed like it was really, really far right people. However, I'll give them credit. They started something else. And then you know what? Google said you don't exist.
Well, here's my problem, and
I'm talking just about the theory. I don't want to talk about the content of Gab.
No.
Someone started another Twitter service, mm-hmm. and Google said we don't like you, so you don't exist, and the search results just wouldn't pop up. That's terrifying.
This pains me to say, as a conservative, and especially a fiscal conservative, right? Google needs to be broken up. Google should not have YouTube. Google needs to be broken up. It needs to be sued under antitrust, without a doubt.
You like they broke up the phone companies back in the day?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what's weird, though?
What?
Like, what? I was thinking about this, too, because we have, like, we think in similar ways. Like, whatever happened to MCI? Remember MCI?
Yeah, they didn't move to sell quick enough.
I guess not. So
I mean, how many people? I mean, I don't even have a landline.
Oh, I got AT&T. I'm worried about the electromagnetic pulse. I've got a landline. I got a landline in both abodes. But it's weird. Well, I guess Verizon came out of somewhere. We do have competition. You got AT&T, Verizon. You got a bunch of cell carriers.
Right.
I don't like to say it either, but.
Because MCI was just like a long distance carrier. So when long distance used to be a different price than, you know, and you didn't have all the different things. Like I remember when I was a kid, every time you dialed long distance, it was really expensive. So my mother like talked to my grandmother like once a month because it was expensive, right? By the time I was a teenager with all the like long distance calling plans and calling after 8, it's free and all this stuff, a lot of that. Like MCI started out as a long distance calling plan, if I remember correctly, whereas AT&T was actually a phone company. So once that whole bifurcation of this is long distance, you can call within your area code kind of went away, I think they kind of went away.
As a stand-up comic, I had, all my calls were long distance.
Mm-hmm.
I'd get to the club, I'd call home, I'd do this. I was always on the road. I had an MCI card, which you had to go You had to do like 1-800 and then call a number and then put in your like 28-digit MCI number, wait for the tone, press 1 for long distance, then dial a number. And if you effed up one number,
yep,
you had to start again.
Yep.
It was the worst. It was the worst.
I used to get those cards if I went to visit a relative that lived far away or whatever.
Yes. Yeah. You get your phone card and get it loaded up with minutes. No, it's okay. I'm on the card. We can keep talking.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, the I'm
worst
with you,
was
though.
If you
I think.
Dated somebody in a different area code?
Yup.
Yup.
Yup. It's the. Oh,
you
my.
You didn't
Lord.
Have email. You didn't have text messages. You could talk to the dude like once a week.
The worst MCI cards, but I agree. I think YouTube should be its own thing, and I guess there's also Vimeo that's kind of up and coming. YouTube's being horrible to content creators.
Yeah,
it's really bad. People are making content, hoping that other people will watch it and discover it and like it, and you'll garner an audience. And if you start smacking down the creators, they'll start going somewhere else.
Oh, it's, without a doubt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a who's the big content creator? Can't remember his name. He just did like an open letter to YouTube asking for that very thing. Okay, so they got rid of Donald Trump's Twitter. They put it back on. Hopefully that doesn't happen to you or I. The election, the whole democratic process was rigged, and that's completely frightening. And then the other thing, and this is like bummer central. I want to move on to something like Halloween costumes, sexy or slutty, something that's got a little bit of zip or zap to it. But quickly, we'll get into the whole Bo Bergdahl thing, which I am. That's another one. I don't want to be an outrage machine this week, but that one I don't. Does the judge? It's a military court.
Correct.
Does he have to like write a paper or something to say, here's why I did this?
I'm actually
and
not.
Can we read it?
I'm actually not sure if he has to write an opinion or not. Because I mean, this stuff just never really hits this level in the press. I mean, you have like guys in the military being court-martialed, but very rarely does it get to like national level attention, where we've had both Bradley Manning. And yes, I said Bradley. And Bo Bergdahl here in the recent, you know, last couple of years.
You've got horrible precedent. Go ahead.
Well, horrible precedent. If the military court of justice even works on precedent, I don't know if it does the same way that the traditional court system does, but having friends who were there, who fought, I can't be anything but outraged and kind of sound pretty much like an outrage machine, even considering the fact that all this person got was a dishonorable discharge. You get a dishonorable discharge for testing positive for marijuana.
Yeah, I don't. I literally.
Or
like,
you used
I,
to. I don't know.
Hear,
you might not anymore.
I want to hear what the thought process was from the judge. I really do. That's the only interview I care to see. That's the only interview I care to see. How did you – he left. He's a deserter. He left his post. He walked away. Okay. Now, when you do that, there's risks. There are inherent risks. And I'm sorry that if he got captured by the Taliban and they were mean to him, bitch, you knew the risk. And you did it anyway. So
six
dudes.
Six
of them.
Young men died.
Yep.
Looking for his stupid ass.
Yeah. And then, and this never occurred to me until late last night, when someone deserts, you have to assume there's a chance that he got captured by the enemy, which he did, and that they have tortured him, and they now know everything he knows.
Right.
So you have to put everything else on hold. Mm-hmm. You have to come up with new ways. Okay, now we used to change the guards at 2. Now we have to do it at 4:30. Because they know the schedule, and I know we were going to do this mission, but now they know about that mission, so we got to do this. It changes everything. Mm-hmm. How many more? And this is going to sound like Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity shit. I don't care. Mark the time.
The moment Michael went full tinfoil hat.
I'm not even kidding. How many more like high level targets did they not get? Because right. Oh, we can't do that mission. We have to look for Bo Bergdahl. So it's like sliding doors. Because they had to look for Bo Bergdahl, they didn't capture this guy who would have told them that the Bing Bang Boom is at the Bloody Block coordinates, which would have changed the entire future of the war. And I know that's like that's hyperbolic, but that's what I'm saying.
But here, my whole six young men died looking for that moron. And we traded his stupid ass, and yes, I said it again,
woo,
for 5 Taliban members, 3 of whom went back to doing exactly what they did before.
And had a reception for this dude's parents in the Rose Garden. How? I want to hear from that. I want to hear from Colonel Balls in My Mouth. I want to hear from Colonel Dick for Brains. I want to hear, like, how do you reach that decision? But you know what? I think he's okay. He was with the Taliban for a while, and they were mean to him, so that's punishment enough.
No. Mm-mm. It's not.
It really isn't. So now you have this president. Oh, okay, I can, you know what? I'm in the army, but I can kind of ditch whenever I want because there's really no repercussions. It's not like I'm going to go to jail for even 7 years or 10 years. It's like, I'll slap on the wrist. They'll kick me out of the army and I'm good to go. And with Bradley Vagina Cooper, you can be, I'm going to get rid of these state secrets. I'm going to turn all this stuff over to our enemies. And you know what? I might get a new vajayjay out of this and then just, get a dishonorable discharge. It's madness. And that was your Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, It's Madness moment. Brought to you by Dixie Cups. They're so small, you could fit a colonel's brain in them.
I'm sorry.
I don't know. I was reaching for something there. I gotta, like, I can feel like, uh-oh, we're in, like, a real comedy void here. Yeah. It's getting really, I'll just throw in something stupid like that.
I got it all up into Dixie Cup. I thought something else was coming, and I was really glad it didn't.
I kept it. I keep it clean. I keep it clean because I got my little notebook of what I want to talk about next, and there is some smut coming up. You got to throw in some smut every once in a while. Well, we kind of actually did the thing that was kind of smutty with
butt sex.
Whatchamacallit. Yeah, you can't spell subtext without butt sex.
Yeah.
And speaking of butt sex, Teen Vogue, gone.
Yeah, funny how that happens.
Yeah, that's just, now is that the magazine industry? Like I really, here's what I'm thinking. Teen Vogue never had a chance. They never had a chance.
When they were like more focused on fashion and entertainment and stuff, I would say they had a chance. I mean, there's plenty of teen girl magazines out there, and you can have electronic subscriptions and whatever. But what you also have to understand is parents pay for those. And even if the reality is teenagers are exploring this thing because they don't want to get pregnant or whatever, mom and dad aren't going to buy the magazine that tells them how to do it. that's the law. These kids are still minors, and I still have some control over what they're going to put their eyeballs on.
It's funny, in talking to development executives at like Disney Channel, Disney XD, Nickelodeon, they know that everything skews down a few years. Like if you want 12-year-olds to watch, your lead character should be at least 16, maybe 17. So Teen Vogue, it just seems like it was too young. Like Vogue, I'd love to, that seems like a, that's like a 22, 23-year-old girl magazine. You know what I'm saying? You're looking for that, oh, I'm in college and now I'm out of college. Here's how I want to look in the professional world. And when I go to these events, it's Vogue. You know, that's kind of like, that's a cool magazine. There's something, I can see the allure of Vogue. I can't see the allure of Allure.
Oh my God.
But like Teen Vogue just seems like, what are you doing?
But yeah, like, this is like how I want to look. This is how I want to look the first day of school. Yeah, like, no. Yeah, they are.
I'm going to wear a sequin gown?
Well, no.
Day one of junior high?
No, they like take it down to that level, what's trending for that age group. And I mean, even when I was a teenager and when my kids were a little younger and engaged in those types of publications, right? There was things that, what do I do when my boyfriend does that? And what do I, you know, what do I say when, you know, this is going on in my social circle or whatever?
Yeah.
It didn't go quite that far. And I think they really just, you know how we talk about, you didn't just cross the line, you kind of moved the line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what they did.
It always would crack me up. Cosmopolitan cracks me up.
Oh,
and I've always, their little sex quizzes, ladies, if you want to give him another thrill, reach over and grab his wiener. It's like, it's always like, this isn't an inside scoop. they're sex tubes. Here's a secret. Next time you want to arouse him, take and put it on his wiener. Really? You don't say. You think a guy's gonna like that? I don't know. Let's have a study. Like, it's hilarious that they always, and God, you know what? I'm a writer. I know that, like, you have to create content, and I'm sure the people at Cosmo at many afternoon, they want to taste the business end of a shotgun because they just don't know how to write another sex tip thing. Cosmo sex tip.
No, you know.
Wait till he's not looking, then grab his package. If he gets aroused, take off his jeans. Like, what are you doing?
So isn't Cosmo the one that originally told us orgasms are bad, don't have sex in the shower? And most recently, I believe it was them, ran a story about what it's like to fall in love with your brother if you're a dude.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah,
I didn't see that.
I think Cosmo is also going to shortly find that they have moved the line.
Well,
because
most people I know
like orgasms. They're a good thing. Most of them might fool around in the shower, and none of them are looking at their brother going, "Oh boy."
Yeah, that's where like, seriously, and it comes back to the editorial content. Like, I will give them the benefit of the doubt where on the I think it was like somebody wrote a thing about the whole orgasm thing. Why it's bad if your guy gives you an orgasm. There was a friend of mine many, many years ago. We started stand-up comedy together. He used to have a bit about, did he give you an orgasm? No, he didn't give me one. Like, this guy's got a whole box full and he's doling them out like Halloween candy. That's the whole thing.
Right.
So, like, I guess there's, like, you could write a philosophical debate, like, maybe, I don't know. Like, and I didn't read the article. But, like, a lot of that stuff is just so clickbaity
and meant to generate the outrage machine.
Yeah.
And
which I'll comment on.
All I can do is mock it. I mean,
yes.
Like, actually, I can't even do that because it was in a writer's group and they do breaking news and do you want to comment on this? I'm like, I'm not even clicking on that link.
Yeah.
I'm not even clicking on it.
For the record, the official Loftus Party stance is all orgasms are fantastic.
No matter who gave them to you.
Get them where you're getting them. However, just don't do it in front of Ashley Judd into a potted plant.
Oh, God.
Have your orgasms. Have your fun. Consenting adults all by yourself. However way you want to slice it. It's always a wonderful thing. Don't be a dopey Hollywood executive type. And I tell you what,
they're everywhere now.
They are dropping like flies.
Well, they're in.
They are dropping like flies.
The New Republic. Somebody over at who does David Corn write for? I can't even remember.
Mother Jones.
Yep. The dude who did all those that used to be, he was the fat kid on TV, and then he did all the children's program for Nickelodeon.
Has he been, did he come in? Dan Schneider.
They're talking about it. It's everywhere.
Ooh, I'm biting my lip. I'm biting my tongue. I'm not going to talk because it's too soon to talk. A bunch of guys at William Morris went down. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to start any rumors, spread any rumors.
There might be a lot of that out there now too, but man, like Weinstein and the floodgates just opened.
And now the cops are saying they've got rape charges.
Yeah.
Against, I think her name is Paz de la Huerta, whatever. She was on an HBO show for a while. Mm-hmm. It's troubling. However, I look at all of this like I look at the Trump presidency. There's been a problem in Hollywood and people in positions of power for a very, very, very long time. Mm-hmm. And now the floodgates are opened. And it ultimately, here's what I hope doesn't happen. Definitely, you get the sense that the villagers have their torches lit,
yep,
and they have their pitchforks and they're on a rampage. Mm-hmm. I want the guilty people out. Mm-hmm. I want them gone. I'm already, though, in the fear of, and I genuinely, genuinely don't want this to sound sexist or as if I'm condoning any of this behavior.
Right.
I don't want innocent people to get scooped up in this.
No, and there's always a real.
I really don't.
Especially if there's already some other reason to blackball that person, put this on top, and you're done.
There is a very, and this is going to sound super dicey. However, I've been in Los Angeles for a long time. I've been on the side where I'm out going out on auditions, mm-hmm, and I've been on the side where I'm sitting in that chair and people are coming in and auditioning. And I've been in the acting classes. I've been in the world. And there are people out there, and I'm not going to name names. I've seen them on TV, and I've seen them, their names in the headlines. Oh, I'm trying to be very, very careful. I don't want to say they are more sexual people than you or I.
Right.
They are just, I don't want to say hypersexual, but they have I'm starting to see these people who I know are, I don't even want to say promiscuous. They just have a greater sense of their own sexuality than your normal person.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're saying, oh, this person did X, Y, or Z. And I'm like, it's starting to get dicey here.
Right.
Because a lot of these, it's very cut and dry. This guy's in a position of power. He says, if you do this, I'll give you that.
And anything with kids. Anything with kids.
That's horrifying. However, I know there's some people out there who are, you know, oh, that's so funny. That's so this. Kissy, kissy, grab, grab. Cosmopolitan told me to grab your junk. You have chosen now,
mm-hmm,
to doink that person. You
right.
went to a party. You snuggled up to them. You doinked them. Now you can't come back years later going, oh, he made me doink him. Ha-ha.
Right.
No. So let's get rid of the guilty people, but let's also be very careful and make sure that some poor bastard – I have seen it with my own two eyes. A super ugly dude goes to a party.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happens. Then super ugly dude gets a part in a hit TV show, and now all of a sudden every girl wants to be with him.
Yep.
So there's both sides of it. I don't know why I felt compelled to say that. It's our country. It takes me back to the Boston Massacre. It really does. Because those guys, those British soldiers, were acting in self-defense, and I know it wasn't a very popular thing to do, but Adams came and defended them, and those guys didn't get in trouble for that. So be careful Liberty Gypsy, when you find yourself in a big group of people who are sure that they're right, start looking around and making sure you're right. I'm paraphrasing that. Does that ring any kind of bells?
It kind of does. Like I've heard it more. What is it? I may be wrong, but I'm never uncertain.
Yeah, there you go.
Always. There you go.
And I believe, you know what the kids say now? Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
There you go.
Okay, so last week we were talking about costumes and cosplay and stuff, and I think we might have talked a little bit about Dana Lash, who I'm a big fan of. She did dress up as Wonder Woman. We found this out. We have confirmation. She has a picture on the internet. You can look at that. You can Google it and see Dana Lash as Wonder Woman. It is what it is. It is what it is. I stumbled across this girl, Allison Tabitha. And that's Allison, A-L. Allison is one of those girl names you never know how to spell. She's going A-L-Y-S-O-N. And then Tabitha is T-A-B-B-I-T-H-A. I stumbled, as I'm looking at Dana Lash as Wonder Woman, I stumble across this girl, Allison Tabitha, who was just amazing in the cosplay world.
Oh.
Do yourself a favor. When you're done listening to this podcast, look at what this girl is doing. It's like a transformation. There's no makeup, meaning prosthetics and fake noses and chins and crap. Mm-hmm. It's her. She makes these costumes. She does her own makeup, and it is a transformation. It's wonderful.
Okay. When she did Gal Gadot's Wonder Woman, right?
Yes.
She actually changed the shape of her eyebrows. She did a before and after picture. She actually matched her eyebrows to Gal Gadot's.
It's amazing.
I was like, damn!
Right? So you think, oh, well, you know what? She kind of looks like her anyway. That must have been. Then you see her as the girl from The Fifth Element. And she looks exactly like – it's amazing.
No,
so I want to
– Then you see as Johnny Depp in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
I was like, crazy. Yeah, she's awfully good.
I want to talk to her. I want to have her on the show. Okay, so we had a lot of fun.
Yes.
You cannot spell subtext without butt sex. And however, if you start giving around tips on Teen Vogue, you'll go out of business.
Exactly. Teen Vogue should have done an article on subtext.
Yes, they should. Mm-hmm. They should have. Mm-hmm. The subtext of Teen Vogue. I will never look at the word subtext the same way.
I don't think
which
I will
is a wonderful
either.
Gift, right? We took a very ordinary, run-of-the-mill word, and now it's got a little bit of zip, a little bit of pizzazz.
Thanks to Robert Downey Jr.
Or someone brilliant.
Someone.
Maybe he heard it and is repeating it. I don't know. So it's time for Michaeltopia. In the real world, there's a lot of problems. There's a lot of questions and bad rules and laws we have to live by. However, in Michaeltopia, there's a different set of rules. So if you got a Michaeltopia, now is the time.
Okay. In Michaeltopia, our legal system is such that you don't get to sue for emotional distress when you lose an election.
What the what?
So Lena Dunham, in her infinite wisdom, I don't know why this girl is even a thing anymore. I mean, I understand she had like a hit TV show for one season and then everybody kept watching it because she was the it girl, but it really wasn't that good. Now she's just disgusting. But anyway, she was just spitballing, but decided that 30 million women should go into a class action suit and sue the president for emotional distress. If we have 30 million women in this country that are that emotional, adult women, by the way, because you have to be over 18 to vote, are that emotionally distressed by Donald Trump's win, we're doomed as a society.
Does she have a lawyer? Is she moving forward with this thing?
She said she was just spitballing, but I mean, it's just something so ridiculous to put out there. Like, no. No, there
it
are
is.
Things that happen to you that are emotionally distressful. So if your doctor, in the context of a medical procedure, cuts off the wrong leg, yeah, you should probably get something for emotional distress. For something not going exactly the way you planned, yeah, probably not.
And this sets back women's rights and equality. It's one of those things where whenever, you know, and a feminist will go, oh, we're the same. We're absolutely the same. Treat us the same. And then Lena Dunham is like, my feelings are so hurt by the outcome of the election. It makes her look so weak. And she wants 30 million weak women who identify as emotionally weak women to join hands with her. It's really bad. It's embarrassing.
If she actually tries to move forward with something this ridiculous, I am going to sue her for the emotional distress I felt when a picture of her naked eating cake on a toilet came across my Twitter feed.
You know, I really wish if she was naked eating cake on a toilet, I really wish that there was like some kind of artistic thing.
No.
However, I think it's a desperate cry for help. I really do.
And I anyway. Hope she gets it. Just get out of the public eye for a while because you're never going to get it there.
Yeah, you can take a break. Okay, in Michaeltopia, people who get shirts from the Loftus Party continue to send those pictures in. They're starting to happen. We're gonna put those on the website. Just listen, wear your t-shirt, have some fun. There is no it doesn't even have to be Instagram quality good. But in Michaeltopia, we love it. It's fantastic.
Or if you buy the mug and you're having your morning coffee.
Yes. Yes. In Michaeltopia, theloftusparty.com is just inundated with these photographs, and we celebrate them, and they're good, and they're wonderful, just as you are. You guys, thanks for subscribing to the podcast and the YouTube page and liking the Facebook, all that stuff. It's wonderful. It's good. We're having fun. I will talk to you next week.